All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton. We are digging deeper into Revelation, and it is time for the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. We are looking at Revelation chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beast of the earth. So for our text this week, Ecumenius, again, trying to stay positive with this. The loosing of the fourth and of the remaining seals is the beginning of the loosing of sin that was brought about by the transgression of Adam. For the loosing of this seal reveals our friendship with God. For if, as Isaiah says, our sins have made us separated from God, Chapter 59, verse 2, the removal of sins brings us close to God. And what is this loosing of this seal? It is the lashes that Christ received and through which we have been freed. For since we were condemned by the pleasure of taste, we have been healed through the opposites. Lashes are the opposite of pleasure, for they give a painful sensation. For Christ has paid in full for us all things through which we were brought down into the corruption of death. And he paid this death in full through opposites. Disobedience through obedience, pleasure through a painful submission, and the hands which laid hold of the forbidden tree through those hands which were valiantly stretched out upon the cross. Well, yes, everything Ecumenius says is true. It is really stretching this idea that the fourth horseman, the rider of death, is, well, the death of Jesus. And, I mean, it's seems to be a simple logical stretch there, but it is this idea of the opposites, which are, as I said, absolutely very true. But it still does not truly make sense in the way everything else goes, because what is then the sword and famine and pestilence and wild beast that are allowed to kill upon the earth if it's simply all about the death of Jesus? Because we could try to encapsulate all that, but that's, again, like I said, very much a stretch. So let's move over to what Dr. Brighton says in his commentary. This Grim Reaper, which this is the exact place where we find the idea of the Grim Reaper in history, is in this passage. This Grim Reaper fells his harvest, and as he is followed by his attendant, the grave receives the gleanings of this horseman and the three preceding. The rider on the ghostly green horse symbolically demonstrates that death is the result of tyranny, the bloodshed, and the famine of the first three horsemen, and that death together with the grave reigns on this earth. Throughout the whole time period covered by this first sevenfold vision, at any given moment, a fourth of the earth's population may be dying because of the sword, famine, diseases, and the wild animals of the earth. Now, we see this as definitely a better way than Ecumenius, because this is truly showing the four horsemen riding in lockstep, that death is ultimately the result of the warfare, the famine, the diseases, the wild animals of the earth. And yes, at any given moment, you could probably count up and easily a fourth of the world's population is suffering from one of these things. And if you think about it, we have over 8 billion people on the earth. That means 2 billion people are facing one of these four things and standing on the doorstep of death. Now, why do we have the wild animals in here? Why is this added on? Because it doesn't belong to the other three horsemen. Because predation, being preyed upon by wild animals, is often a divine punishment for sin. We see this very well in Numbers chapter 21, where we look at verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor they went out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Here we have the people sinning against God, complaining once again throughout their travels in the wilderness. And God sending out fiery serpents, poisoned so bad that it results in almost immediate death. I mean, there is the opportunity to turn and in faith look to the bronze serpent, which is made in the image of the fiery serpents, to show the grace of God. That here we have a look at the death of Jesus, because it is Jesus being put up on a pole in the form of humanity to take away the death of humanity, to take away the sin of humanity. That's Numbers 21. There is where Ecumenius has his tenuous understanding there. But we move on. Ezekiel in chapter 5, verse 17 says, I will send famine and wild beast among you, and they will rob you of your children. Pestilence and bloodshed shall pass through you, and I will bring the sword upon you. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Then in chapter 14, he says, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they ravage it, and it may be and be made desolate, so that no one may pass through because of the beast, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, from previous verses, were in it, as I live, declares the Lord God, they would not deliver neither sons nor daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the land would be desolate. So here Ezekiel has this moment of, if God sends wild beasts into ravage the entire land, even if Noah or Daniel or Job, three men seen as blameless in their own generation, even if they were there, the land would not be spared. They would be spared, just as Noah was spared through the flood, just as Job was spared after his time of writhing and agony through his torments from Satan, and even Daniel in the lion's den, rescued. In Mark chapter 1, as Mark quickly talks about the temptation of Jesus, he says, the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. So we have, once again, the wild animals being brought out in the wilderness, in this place where there is not civilization, and therefore seemingly not God as well. Now, as we move also from into the fourth horseman and dig a little deeper in there, we see from all four of them visions of, or reflections from Zechariah, because he has two visions of horsemen in his prophecy. Zechariah 1, verses 7 to 17. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red, sorrel, and white horses. Then I said, what are these, my lord? The angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So the man who is standing among the myrtle trees answered, these are they whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest. Then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which you have been angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered gracious and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. So the angel who talked with me said to me, cry out, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion, and I am exceedingly angry with the nations that are at ease. For while I was angry but a little, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and the measuring line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Cry out again, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. So here we have again the red and sorrel, the kind of the pale, the ghastly green, as Brighton translates it in his commentary, and the white horses, all there patrolling the Earth. And we figure four of them because there are, well, four different horses at least named, but also talking about patrolling the whole Earth. And we think of the four corners of the Earth. He goes on in Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Again, I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, four chariots came out from between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of bronze. The first chariot had red horses, the second black horses, the third white horses, and the fourth chariot dappled horses, all of them strong. Then I answered and said to the angel who had talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are going out to the four winds of heaven after presenting themselves before the Lord of all the earth. The chariot with the black horses goes towards the north country, the white ones go after them, and the dappled ones go towards the south country." Even when the strong horses came out, they were impatient to go and patrol the earth. And he said, "Go, patrol the earth." So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me, "Behold, those who go toward the north country have set my spirit at rest in the north country." So we have again, now four chariots with horses, all of them different colors. Again, all of them having very similar ideas to what is going on with the four horsemen in Revelation. Again, going out patrolling, going through the four corners of the earth. So Brighton says, as he talks about the similarities between Revelation and Zechariah, there is a similarity between the purpose of the chariots and the horsemen and horses in Zechariah and the role of Satan in Job 1-2. Satan is among those who stand before the face of Yahweh, chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 1. And he reports that he has been roving about the earth, chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 2, verse 2. Then Satan goes out, chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 2, verse 7, from Yahweh's presence to afflict Job. When we have the opening of Job, we have Satan coming before God, saying that he has gone and been all over the earth, seeing who there is that he might be able to have a moment with, to have time to afflict personally. There is similarity between what is going on in Zechariah, what is going on with the four horsemen in Revelation 6, with Satan moving in Job chapters 1 and 2, because truly it is him who is behind all of the bloodshed, all of the famine, all of the tyranny and breaking up of families and things that is what marks our world today. That is what is going on with the four horsemen. It is showing not things that are going to happen, but the way things are. Because there is always some place where there is wars, whether it's domestic or international, or if it's famines, pestilences, all of these things are happening all over the world right now and have been at all times ever since Jesus ascended into heaven. And that is the point of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, to show us the circumstances which man finds himself in the end times, which has been since Jesus ascended into heaven and we received the promise from the angels that this Jesus, who you saw going up into heaven, shall return to you in the same way. This is what the earth looks like while we're waiting. And we can't deny that because we see it every single day. All right, that is it. We have finished the four horsemen. Next week, we go into the fifth seal and the saints under the altar. A little bit different tack now in the fifth and sixth seals, as Dr. Morris said in the Tyndale commentary way back a couple of weeks ago. But again, it shows what is going on. What is the circumstances around life in this world and life in the world to come as we await the moment where Jesus comes back. And while we are waiting for that, I pray that this podcast, not only this episode, but also all of the episodes, the Digging Deeper, the Confessional Corner, that they help you to be strengthened, to wrestle with the theology around you. Because truly, as we live in these last days, there is theology all around us that we need to wrestle with, that we need to show as being faulty, but also we need to know what it is that is true and right and salutary, so we may depend on that, just as we depend on our Lord. This is Pastor Minton thanking you for being here this week. I pray that you come back next week and that you are strengthened to wrestle with the theology around you. Amen.